Just when you thought.
All righty, folks. Welcome back, Colt 45's fans, to another phenomenal night of Reading Colt 45's baseball. My name is Austin White. I'm here at Tiger Field with my colleague, Jacob Green. And it is Bill Plummer Memorial Night tonight here at Tiger Field. And we are getting ready to welcome the teams on out. We're going to hear the national anthem. Until then, Jacob, talk to us a little bit about what we saw last night from the Colt 45s.
Well, we saw it in walk-off fashion. The Colt 45s brought home a W, which extended their winning streak from last season, actually, to, I believe, six games now. And tonight we have Eric Winchester on the mound, a Simpson alum from right here in Redding, California, Redding's hometown university.
Absolutely. And I know you've talked to Winchester a couple of times. I believe you've seen him play as well. So what do you expect out of him in this outing?
Well, Winch is always, he's a big strikeout guy. And 6'4", 230, standing up there on the hill. He throws a great fastball. They call him Fireball Winch. In his last start in the CalPAC tournament down there in Arizona at Hohokam Stadium, the spring training facility for the Oakland Athletics, he pitched four innings, gave up only four hits and one run with four strikeouts. But his last start at the Red Hawks home field, he went 7 1/3, with three hits, giving up only three runs, and he had eight Ks on the outing.
Wow, okay, so a big guy on the mound tonight, and it sounds like he's got a lot of power in that arm, so maybe expecting to see quite a bit of strikeouts.
Yeah, this last season he was 4-5 with a 5.31 ERA, but he had 82 strikeouts in 62 and two-thirds innings. He only gave up four long balls all season long.
That is pretty impressive. We'll see if he can keep that ERA under control tonight. I know last night we had a pretty high-scoring game for both teams. Like you mentioned, the Colt 45s walked it off on actually a bases-loaded hit-by-pitch, which was, you know, interesting to say the least. But that extended their lead. That gave them the winning run. The final score was 8-7, Colt 45s. And it was really a back-and-forth game all night long. Every time the Colt 45 scored, the Rosebuds seemed to come back and answer. And every time the Rosebuds scored, the Colt 45s did exactly the same thing. Now, on the mound yesterday, starting, who did we have?
Trey Bennett, who K'd six in six innings of work.
Yes, he did. And, you know, he gave up a few runs, but I will say his last three innings were all shutout innings. And I got to say, once he settled himself on that mound, he was lights out, and the Rosebuds just couldn't seem to hit off of him. So hopefully Winchester will be able to do that a little bit quicker tonight. But honestly, Bennett had a pretty impressive outing last night, and I'd expect him to do great things for the Colt 45s in the future. Now, folks, we are about to stand up for the national anthem. The national anthem tonight is going to be brought to you by Scott Lewis, who is getting ready to sing right now. Of our nation's anthem right there from Scott Lewis. And that will set us up for a great night of baseball. Now, I think we're going to wait on the umpires meeting at the plate. So we'll talk a little bit about what we saw last night from the Colt 45. One standout player, I have to say, was our boy, Fenn. That is, sorry, Griffith Fenn, who went 4-for-5 last night, had a couple of stolen bases, a couple of RBIs on the night as well. Are you expecting that kind of performance from him again, Jacob?
I am definitely expecting that type of performance again. If he gets 2 to 3 hits, that's what you want from your cleanup hitter out there playing right field.
Absolutely. And, you know, the bats for the Colt 45s were pretty hot last night. You know, I think it was kind of spread throughout the lineup a bit. Only 2 of our starting players went without hits. But I will say this, a lot of stolen bases last night.
A lot of stolen bases and a lot of walks, and a lot of walks that resulted in stolen bases.
100%.
Which is just good baseball to watch.
Absolutely. The stolen bases are always entertaining for the crowd. However, it might have gotten to a point last night where it was almost seemingly like excessive. Not necessarily excessive on the part of the manager calling the steals, but excessive in the nature that, you know, you got to throw some guys out.
Yeah, I think there was pressure put on the Rosebuds from the Colt 45s, which was a great, great call by the manager to just constantly be stealing bases, forcing the Rosebuds to make great plays to stay in the game. And that's exactly what happened. That's what kept the Colt 45s in the game. They were able to bounce back and take the lead before the Rosebuds came right back, and then we had a runner advance to second last night, and then the bases got loaded, and then they walked it off on a hit-by-pitch, which is pretty anticlimactic, but a win is a win.
It was anticlimactic, but as you say, a win is a win. Keeps the Colt 45s in the win column for sure. I will say this. The Rosebuds have a new arm behind the plate tonight. So, fresh set of legs, fresh arm. Do you think that will impact the Colt 45's base running aggression?
I think based up from last night, right off the bat, if you get a runner or two on with some decent speed, make him steal second, see what the catcher has got, see what he's bringing. Scouting report only tells you so much. You got to force him to make a big play. Keep the offense quiet for the Colt 45's, and if they don't do that, jump out to an early lead, give Winch a little insurance to work with, and let him go.
Absolutely. And, you know, they did exactly that last night. They tested the arm of that catcher once or twice and realized, man, we can steal on this guy all night long. And that's exactly what they did. Cameron, who was catching last night for the Rosebuds, did eventually catch one of the Colt 45s stealing second in a pretty clutch situation in the bottom of the eighth inning, which prevented the 45s from taking the lead in that inning. Ultimately would not impact the results of the game. But we'll see if our new catcher tonight, Gilly Roth, can hold them a little bit earlier.
That is definitely one of the keys of the games for the 45s, is to take advantage of those stolen bases when those runners are on, if you can. Force the catcher to make good throws and keep the speed on the base path. As the Colt 45s right here are getting set to take the field, led by Fireball Winch out there on the mound, the tall right-hander.
Yes, he is. And I think now's a good time to walk you through our starting lineups for the night. So, for the Rosebuds first, we've got Colton Ree in right field. He's going to be batting number 1. Drill Silveri will be in center field. He is going to be in that number 2 spot. Number 3 is going to be Justin Wade. He'll be playing third base. Iggy Lawrence, he's going to be the designated hitter in the cleanup spot. Jared Cunardi, once again, the first baseman who went yard last night, he's going to be hitting in that number 5 spot. After him will be James Potts in left field. Nick Roth, the second baseman, batting 7th. Chase Deinhart playing shortstop tonight for the Rosebuds. He'll be batting 8th. And finally, batting 9th is the new fresh catcher, Gilly Roth. Now, for the Colt 45s, number 4, Dusty Vila, is going to be leading off once again tonight, playing second base. Braxton Riley, the center fielder, will be batting 2nd. Joel Calderon Serrano will be playing shortstop, batting in that number 3 hole. Hitting cleanup is going to be Griffith Fenn, who we already talked about, went 4-for-5 last night. He's going to be playing right field. Alex Jones, who was behind the plate last night for the Colt 45s, is going to be in that designated hitter spot, batting 6th. Sorry, 5th. Batting 6th is going to be Chase Rossman, the first base, who's actually just here playing for the weekend for the Colt 45s. Reed Alexander is going to be in left field. He'll be batting in that number 7 spot. Brandon Zanny, once again, at third base, and he will be batting 9th. Sorry, 8th. And finally, Mason Cassingham is going to be batting 9th, and he's going to be behind the plate tonight. So, new fresh legs behind the plate for the Colt 45s as well. We're bringing in the left fielder from last night, Cassingham, to go in behind the plate. What do you expect out of Cassingham? He's a smaller guy. I want to say he's about 5'9", 165 pounds. Do you think that'll impact the Rosebuds running tonight?
I don't think it will. I think if they saw him throw in from left field yesterday at all, they won't run on him. But for the young kid, you might want to push him and see if he can make those key throws down to second base to keep the runners from going. He's going to be the battery tonight for Winch, veteran with a freshman right here.
Yeah, and Cassingham put up an impressive performance last night. He had that clutch double in the late in the bottom of the ninth inning that ended up setting up that bases loaded scenario, which ultimately led to the Colt 45s winning. Now, we are now unveiling a picture of Billy Plummer's jersey out there on the right field wall. Once again, tonight is Billy Plummer Memorial Night, and I'd like to mention to you folks, half of our ticket proceeds are going to the Bill Plummer Memorial Scholarship. Right. So, we've got Winchester up there on the mound, getting ready to get started here. Colton Ree over there in the on-deck circle, trying to get timed up here. How important, Jacob, would you say it is for Cassingham, as a freshman catcher coming up his first year with the Colt 45s, to come out strong with his pitch calling? How important is that for the confidence of Winchester?
I think Cassingham being behind the dish there, calling those pitches for Winch, and if Winch has confidence in what he calls, it'll show a lot throughout the night. And we'll see how far Winch can go. Like I said, his second-to-last outing, he went 7 1/3. And you know he has the capability to go deep into the ballgame.
Definitely. He's got a little bit of stamina up there for sure. We'll see if he can hold it down here tonight for the Colt 45s. Already just warming up, his stuff is looking pretty strong. Looks like Team Cassingham kind of got mixed up there on a warm-up pitch, but now Cassingham's going to get ready to throw down, and we're going to get this game started. Oh, yeah, we got one more warm-up pitch.
Winchester just signaled two more pitches before the throwdown from Cassingham, which will be our first look at Cassingham throwing down to second, really showing off that left field arm.
All right, so Colton Ree is going to step in to the right-handed batter's box, and Winchester will see his first batter of the season. Here's the pitch. It's going to be low, fastball, ball one.
First pitch at 7:18 on a Saturday night for baseball.
1-0 count, here it is. Strike one, fastball in the outside corner. Nice pitch there from Winchester, and that'll move the count to a ball and a strike to Colton Ree. 1-1 pitch. Here's the windup. Ooh, just a little bit outside. Cassingham, a little trouble handling that one as it pops out of his glove. Count will move to 2-2 now. And Colton Ree has yet to swing at a pitch. He's really trying to test out this arm. 2-1 pitch. Here it is. Little bit outside once again, and that'll move it to a 3-1 count. Cassingham tried to frame that one up. He held it there for a minute. I think he was waiting for that strike call, but umpire didn't give it to him. Now here's the pitch. 3-1, low fastball. And Colton Ree will get on base with a walk for his first at-bat of the game and his first at-bat against Winchester. So it's going to be Drew Silveri, the center fielder, up to bat for the Rosebuds as Winchester gives up a walk in his first appearance. Now the pitch. Here it is. check swing, but it's going to be a called strike. Fastball there, a little bit high. Silvera, not sure if he wanted that one, but the umpire says strike anyways. So Winchester now comes set. Here's the pitch. Strike two, fastball, outside corner. Nice pitch there from Winchester. And he does have a little bit of a slow wind-up out of the stretch. We'll see if the Rosebuds want to take advantage of that as Winchester comes set. And they deke him. There will be no runner as that ball goes low for ball one. So it'll be a one-ball, two-strike count as Winchester gets settled back there on the rubber. Silvera back in the box. Here comes the 1-2 pitch. Swung on, ground ball to the second baseman, Vila. He's got it. Toss over to Serrano. Over to first. Not in time. So the Colt 45s get one on the light ground ball over to Vila. And there will be a runner on first for the Rosebuds. But one out here in the top of the first inning. So that'll bring up Justin Wade, the third baseman for the Rosebuds, as he settles in for his first plate appearance against Winchester tonight. Winchester comes set. Here's the pitch. No swing, fastball. Strike one. Now, it looked like Wade wanted that one, but just couldn't really make the decision as he ends up holding back, but it'll be called strike one. 0-1 count now. Here's the pitch from Winchester. Same thing, except that one's going to be called a ball. I don't know where that one missed, Jacob.
Looked like it missed a little high, maybe off the plate inside, but Cassingham tried to frame it, just couldn't quite get it right.
So the count will move to a ball and a strike as Winchester comes set and delivers. Swung on and flown into right field. And the right fielder, Fenn, is going to be under it. He'll make the catch for out number two. So the Colts will have two quick outs after the leadoff walk from Winchester, but he's doing a good job of pitching to contact and getting that ball on the ground and then up in the air for his fielders to make some plays.
And here at Tiger Field, with shadows covering about half the infield and a little bit of left field, it's really hard out there for the right fielder, center fielder, and even the first baseman and second baseman to see that ball.
You're absolutely right, Jacob. And now here's the pitch from Winchester. That's going to be called for strike one, a fastball, to the designated hitter, Iggy Lawrence. Lawrence went yard with a smoked rope shot to left field last night. Let's see if Winchester can shut him down here. The pitch. Almost swung at it. Another fastball in the outside corner. It's going to be called strike two. So these Rosebuds look like they're very hesitant against Winchester tonight. I think his velo's getting to him a little bit, and they can't really make the decision of whether they want to swing in time. There'll be an 0-2 count to Lawrence. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. And Lawrence could not catch up to the fastball. All right, folks. It's time for Reading Colt 45's Baseball Tonight, sponsored by Charlie's Tap House at 1901 Highway 273 in Anderson. Charles Tap House offers a variety of menu items, including breadsticks, buffalo wings, pesto sticks, towering onion rings, soups, salads, pasta, pizza, and more. Charlie's Tap House, dine-in, pickup, or delivery at 1901 Highway 273 in Anderson. And we'll see you in the bottom of the inning.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlie's Tap House. Charlie's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlie's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlie's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlie's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the first inning at Tiger Field. your Reading Colt 45s held the Santa Rosa Rosebuds to no runs in the top half of the inning, and now they'll be looking to put some runs on the board first here. It's going to be Chuck Parneaux, the tall lefty, on the mound for the Rosebuds, and this will be his first outing of the season. Last night, I believe it was Hamilton on the mound for the Rosebuds, and he had somewhat of a forgettable night, wouldn't you say, Jacob?
Yeah, and he liked to quick pitch early on in the innings. Now we have a tall southpaw who, just upon his warm-up, watching his warm-up pitches, rather, seems to be likes to work it a little bit slower. A little bit of a change-up here for the Colt 45s.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see if the Colt 45s can adjust their timing to a little bit of a slower clock manager here tonight. As the catcher, Roth, throws down, and already his arm is looking a little bit stronger than Cameron, who caught last night. But it'll be Dusty Vila up to the plate for the Colt 45s, once again batting leadoff, as we mentioned a little bit earlier. Jacob, how was Vila's appearance at the plate last night?
Well, last night he went 1-for-5 with a walk, but, had 3 stolen bases on the night while only getting on base twice. So there was one time he stole both second and third, and he was an absolute terror on the base path last night for the Rosebuds as he hits one in the air toward left field. It's going to land foul just out of the reach of the left fielder, chasing it down into foul territory.
Yeah, so Vila gets a little bit lucky there. He popped one up on the first pitch. That was a fastball from the lefty Parneaux, and the left fielder just cannot quite get to it. So the count will be no balls and a strike. But, yeah, Vila's one of those guys. He's got a lot of speed. He's a dangerous leadoff hitter. If you let him get on base, there's a good chance he's going to get himself in a scoring position. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Line drive down the third baseline. That's a fair ball as Vila gets the call to go to second, and he will be into second base standing up with a leadoff double for the Colt 45s. And now the Rosebuds are already in trouble as Parneaux looks visibly frustrated out there on the mound. His catcher already heading out there. They're going to have a quick chat as Braxton Riley, the center fielder, comes up for the Colt 45. So already no outs in the game here in the bottom of the first, and Vila is on second. We are, like we saw last night, Vila's got some real good speed over there, and it looks like they're not going to hold him on much. Well, now the second baseman ranging over just a bit, but they're not holding him tight. Parneaux gets set. Here comes the pitch. Swung on. Bloop into left field, and that's going to fall for a base hit. Now they're waving around Vila, and he will score easily. The throw will go to second. And just like that, the Colt 45s are on top. 1-0 off of the RBI single from Braxton Riley. Now, that was a good piece of hitting there, wouldn't you say, Jacob? I mean, not the most ideal pitch, but he did a good job of getting around and just powering that out in the left field.
Yeah, what a job there for Braxton Riley to barrel it up, dump it right over the shortstop, who was actually playing a little bit in from the outfield grass over there, about medium depth, a couple steps back, even with the bag with third, and the third baseman right now also playing even with the bag right in front of the infield grass, as this pitch is going to miss high and outside for a ball.
Yeah, it's going to be Joel Calderon-Serrano in the box now. 1-0 count with Riley leading off of first. Pretty humble lead he's got there. 1-0 pitch. Here it comes. No swing. Fastball. Strike one. So count will be tied up. A ball and a strike as Calderon-Serrano steps out, gets his sign. Now back in the box. Parneaux is set. Here's the pitch. In the dirt. Low, ball two. So it will be 2 balls and a strike to the large shortstop, Serrano. Serrano, once again, taking a sign from his third base coach, steps back in the box. Riley, still with a pretty small lead out there at first. Now here comes the pitch. And Riley goes high. Here's the throw down, and it will not be in time as Braxton Riley has himself a stolen base. Now there will be no force out for the Rosebuds. A pretty good throw from the catcher there, Gilly Roth, but Braxton Riley with some crazy speed just gets himself in a scoring position there.
And there we see it already. The Colt 45's testing the arm of the catcher to see what they can do to rattle the Rosebuds.
I will say it was a lot closer than most of the throwdowns last night.
Was a lot closer. The throw actually beat the runner there. Just a little bit high.
Now here's the pitch. Strike two. And Serrano was on his way to first base. He thought that was ball four. But the umpire almost looked a little bit frustrated that Serrano was stepping out of the box, gave a fierce strike call, as the count will be full. Now the pitch. Here it is. Swung on and fouled back over the net and into the parking lot. Luckily, doesn't nail any cars, and the count will remain full. So, Braxton Riley still out there in scoring position. Still no outs for the Rosebuds, and they're already trailing 1-0. As Serrano steps back into the box, Parnot gets his sign. Comes set. Here comes the pitch. No, there will be no pitch as Riley tries to get to third, but Parnot's going to step off, throw over, and he actually got him. So, tried to go for an early steal there with Riley on second, trying to take third, set up a sacrifice situation, but Parnot, on top of things, steps off the rubber and nails him. So it'll be one out. The count is still full to Serrano. Here comes the pitch. High fastball. That'll be ball four as Serrano gets himself on with a walk. So what could have been runners on first and second, potentially first and third, now turns into just a runner on first for the Colt 45. So not an ideal situation with a runner on scoring position there. But it'll be Griffith Fenn, the right fielder, who, as we mentioned earlier, was 4-for-5 last night. He steps into the plate, left-handed batter. Now Serrano takes a bit more of a generous lead. Here's the pitch. In the dirt, nice block there by the catcher, Roth, as the count moves to a ball and no strikes. Parnot now rubs up the baseball a little bit as he steps back up on the rubber. Looks down and takes his sign. Comes set. Serrano getting a decent lead over there at first. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike one. And you could tell Fenn wanted all of that one. He kind of pulled his head off there, swinging for the fences. Looked like an off-speed pitch to me as well.
Looked a little off-speed, and it threw him off balance. Trying to pull the ball down the line right past the first baseman holding the runner on there over at first.
Absolutely, and it'll be a 1-1 count now. Here's the pitch. Swung on, driven into right field. There's a base hit, and Serrano will be held up at second as the throw comes into third from the right fielder. But now it's going to get behind the third baseman. Serrano, however, will hold up as the pitcher, Parnot, was backing up and gets to it quickly. Now, that was a hard-hit line drive single, wouldn't you say?
That was absolutely lined, and it dropped right in front of the right fielder who had to make a come-up throwing really hard into the infield to hold the runner from going around second because he had stepped on the gas, shifted into fifth gear there as he hit the bag at second.
Yes, he did.
A wide turn.
Serrano looked ready to take third, but I think it was probably a good decision to hold him up as the right fielder gave a pretty good throw, pretty impressive arm out there. As it's going to be Alex Jones, the designated hitter, up to the plate. Here's the pitch. Strike one, down the middle. And Jones, like we mentioned, was behind the plate for the Colt 45s last night. Now he'll take the night off, or kind of off, as he just takes on that designated hitter role. Back in the box, 0-1 count. Here comes the pitch from Parnot. In the dirt, but swung on and missed. Now the runners are heading or trying to advance, and now a bad throw over to third is going to get in the left field, and that is going to allow Serrano to come in and score. All right, folks, let me break that down one more time for you. So it was a curveball in the dirt, swung on and missed. I'm imagining that may have been a hit-and-run call.
Yeah, it looked like a hit-and-run call. It was waved at there by Jones way outside, but the bender there got him to bite.
Yes, it did. And the runners were advancing. The catcher, Roth, tried to pop up after blocking the pitch and lays around over to third, but his ball was in the dirt, went into left field, and now we've got a runner on second. The score is 2-0 Colt 45s. As Jones takes a fastball high for ball one, so it'll be a ball and two strikes now. Again, we've got one out here in the bottom of the first inning as Parnell looks down and takes his signs. Now he comes set. Here comes the pitch. Swung on, ground ball up the middle. It hits off of Parnell, but he'll get to it, pick it up, and throw on over to first for out number two. Still, over on second, I believe that is Fenn. He'll advance on over to third. Good piece of contact hitting there from Jones. Lined a ground ball right up the middle. Too fast for Parnell to handle, but it deflected right off of him and in front of him, so he was able to get to it quickly. Now it'll be two outs with a runner on third. And here's the pitch to Chase Rossman, the first baseman. That one's going to be low for ball one. All right. Now, Parnell back on the rubber. It'll be a 1-0 count to Rossman. Here comes the pitch. Fouled lightly back to the net. And the count will even up at a ball and a strike. Jacob, talk to us a little bit about how Rossman performed last night.
Well, Rossman last night went 0-for-2 but had two walks on the night. He was caught stealing at second, which was the only caught stealing last night from the Colt 45s. They went 1-for-6 last night trying to steal bases. But again, Rossman contributing with two walks.
Yeah, he's definitely hoping to put bat on ball a little bit more in this game. But still, two walks shows that he's got great plate discipline, which he actually is showing right now as he takes another pitch outside for ball two. The count will be two balls and a strike now.
Yeah, he's laid off a couple great pitches here from the Rosebud's tall southpaw.
Now Parnell comes set. Here's the pitch. Curveball in there for strike two. So Parnell kind of left that one hanging, but Rossman decided he didn't want any part of it as he lets it go. It'll be two balls, two strikes with two outs here in the bottom of the first as Parnell looks to get out of a jam and provide some damage control for his defense. Here's the pitch. High fastball. Ran up and in on Rossman there, and the count will be full now. So the pressure is on for Parnell. He's already allowed two earned runs in the inning. Let's see if he can get himself out of this jam. So he looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll come set. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled lightly once again to the back of the net. And the count will remain full. So a good job of battling here by Rossman. And he's putting on full display why he's able to get the walks like he did last night. Just a guy who battles up there at the plate. Parnell looks down and takes his sign. Here comes the pitch. Swung on, grounded highly to the first baseman, Cunardi, who's got it, and he'll take it himself over to first for out number three. So, Colt 45's put up a couple of runs in the bottom of the first inning. They go up 2-0 off of some clutch hits from their offense. Remember, folks, Charlie's Tap House at 1901 Highway 273 in Anderson offers a variety of menu items, including breadsticks, buffalo wings, pesto sticks, towering onion rings, soup, salads, pasta, pizza, and more. Charlie's Tap House at 1901 Highway 273 in Anderson.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlie's Tap House. Charlie's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlie's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Tarlou's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Tarlou's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the bottom of the first inning here at Tiger Field for the Colt 45s. Winchester back out on the mound for the Colt 45s, and he's in a 1-1 count against Jared Cunardi, the first baseman right now, who is facing off against Winchester for the first time. Now, the fastball down the middle is strike two to Cunardi. It'll be a ball and two strikes. Here comes the pitch. Check swing, called strike three as Winchester puts up a nice appearance against Cunardi to get out number one, and it looks like that rhythm he got going in the first inning is carrying over already.
And you love to see it striking out both the hitters who hit the long ball last night come into this game facing Winch for the first time, and both of them, Kay, swinging.
Absolutely, and now it's going to be James Potts, the left fielder. Sorry. Yes, the left fielder up to the plate in that left-handed batter's box. He'll see a fastball outside for ball one. Now the 1-0 pitch. Here it is. Swung on and missed, and the count will even up, a ball and a strike. So it'll be a 1-1 count now. Again, the Colts already have one out here in the inning off the strikeout against Cunardi. Here's the pitch. Swung on and popped foul out to the left side. And that one will go way past the fence. It'll be a ball and two strikes to Potts.
Looked like he just kind of threw the barrel out there and tried to foul it off as that looked like a breaking pitch or a changeup came in just off the outside edge. Just kind of fought it off. Didn't want to get called for strike three looking as Winch comes set, winds up. Here's the pitch. That one's fouled back. Same place just about.
Yeah, and now Potts does a good job of battling it off. He's trying not to be the second strikeout victim of the inning. As I apologize, as Winchester heads back out to the mound and steps on the rubber. Now he gets his sign. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed, but Cassingham is going to drop it. He'll lay the tag on him, though, for out number two. So Winchester, his second strikeout of the inning, and he just seems to be on fire right now, wouldn't you say, Jacob?
And that must be why they call him Fireball Winch, because right now that fireball is working for him. He's K'd three Rosebuds in a row, looking here to strike out the side against Nick Roth.
Definitely impressive outing so far. Here's the pitch to Roth. He's going to foul that one way back and over the fence. And it'll be no balls and one strike. Roth now steps out, gets his sign from his third base coach. Dig in the plate, the batter's box. Here's the pitch. Check swing, but a called strike from the home plate umpire, and it'll be a quick 0-2 count.
And here it is, Winch one strike away from striking out the side.
Winch gets his sign. Here's the pitch. High fastball. You could tell Roth was thinking about swinging at that one. He wanted it bad, but does a good job showing off some discipline and lays off of it.
He does not want to be the four straight victim here for Winch.
Winchester back on the rubber. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Strike three calls! And Winchester does it. He strikes out the side in a phenomenal inning of work here for the Colt 45s as they hold the lead 2-0. And we're going to head into the bottom of the second inning. Remember, folks, Charlie's Tap House at 1901 Highway 273 in Anderson offers a variety of menu items, including breadsticks, buffalo wings, pesto sticks, towering onion rings, soups, salads, pasta, pizza, and more. Charlie's Tap House, dine-in, pickup, or delivery at 1901 Highway 273 in Anderson.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlie's Tap House. Charlie's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlie's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlie's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlie's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Welcome back here. Again, I am Austin White here with my colleague Jacob. And we are here at Tiger Field in the bottom half of the second inning as Chuck Parneau gets back out there on the mound for the Santa Rosa Rosebuds looking to hold the Colts at their two-run lead right now. It's going to be Reed Alexander up to the plate for the Colts as he swings and misses at a fastball for strike one. Alexander is listed as number 28 on the roster, but he's wearing number 29 right now. Sharing a number, actually, with Serrano, interestingly enough. As Parneau gets set, here's the 0-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled back to the back of the net. And the count will quickly move to 0-2. So Parneau looking like looking a little bit more relaxed out there, wouldn't you say, Jacob?
Yeah, I would say so. It looks like he's settled in. He's got the big kid, 6-0, 215 from Corning, digging in to the right side. Southpaw, we got a little left-on-right matchup here.
Yes, we do. And we'll see if Alexander can take advantage. Here's the 0-2 pitch. It's going to be outside for ball one. So the count will move to a ball and two strikes against Parneau. As Alexander steps back in the box, Parneau gets set. Here comes the 1-2. In the dirt, curveball, and Alexander wanted it, but does a good job of holding off there as the count moves to two balls and two strikes. Again, no outs in the inning as Alexander is leading off. Parneau looks down, gets his sign. 2-2 pitch on the way. Swung on and popped into the air over on the right side. First baseman ranging over. He'll get under it and make the catch. That is Cunardi over there at first base who got under that one. And it'll be one down here in the bottom of the second inning for the Santa Rosa Rosebuds. Now it'll be number 28. Oh, we've got something going on. Little mismatch with numbers here. It'll be number 28, Brandon Zanny. So like we said, we thought that Alexander was 28, but I guess Zanny is 28 now. And he's playing third base tonight for the Colts. And he sees the first pitch fastball high for ball one from Parneau. Zanny, in his first plate appearance against Parneau tonight, here in the bottom of the second, looking to do some damage. Here's the pitch. Inside, ball two, as that one gets away from the catcher, Roth, and he'll get a new ball from the umpire. So a quick 2-0 count now to Zanny, the large third baseman, as he steps back in the box. Parnell looks down, gets a sign. Looks a little razzled there up on the mound. Quick 2-0 count. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into deep left center field. Center fielder's going to be ranging back for it, and that ball is gone. Solo home run for Brandon Zanny, and he extends the lead to 3-0 in favor of the Colt 45s. And this crowd is getting excited as he rounds third base and heads home. That ball was absolutely mashed, Jacob.
No win tonight here at Tiger Field, and that ball got out of here fast still. Just to the left of the scoreboard out there, right toward the lights out there in left center field.
And that was, I mean, he got all, every bit of that pitch. The center fielder went back, thought he might have had a chance, but that thing was probably a solid 10 feet over the wall in left center field.
I would say, yeah, about 10 feet over. It just missed the home run shot out there, where if they make it in, something gets donated. We can't quite see it from where we're at, but.
No, we can't, but you're right. It just barely missed the target. So now Mason Cassingham, the catcher, has a chance to maybe hit that target in this at-bat.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. A little back-to-back action.
And Cassingham lines one down the third baseline after taking a fastball for ball one, so it'll be a 1-1 count to the young catcher.
And that, I believe, was the first long ball for the Colt 45s this year, and it's brought to you by Brandon Zanny.
Yes, it was. An electric hit right there as Cassingham swings and misses for strike three. Sorry, it was an 0-2 count, not a 1-1 count, so Cassingham is down on strikes as the lineup turns over, and we will see Vila coming up to the plate. Vila led off the game with a double and ultimately ended up scoring, contributing to that three-run lead. And now he swings and misses at a curveball out way outside, completely fooled on that pitch for strike one. Parnell looking to come back and send a message, I think, to Vila that he's not going to be this easy to hit off of every at-bat. Here's the pitch. Low and inside. That'll be ball one. So it'll be a ball and a strike to Vila now as he steps in to that left-handed batter's box. Parnell takes his sign. Here comes the pitch. Curveball in there. Strike two. Again, kind of left that one hanging a little bit. I don't know, Jacob, is that a pitch you want to swing at?
I would say it's a great pitch to lay off of. It's a 50-50 ball right there. Sometimes it gets called for a ball, sometimes gets called for a strike. And just great plate discipline there by Vila.
Good analysis, absolutely. And Vila is going to hit a hard ground ball to the third baseman, who fields it cleanly. Good throw over to first for out number three. So, Parnell gets it done here in the bottom of the second. Unfortunately, gives up a run. Unfortunately for the Rosebuds, I should say, gives up a run to the big man Brandon Zanny, who, like you said, Jacob, hit the Colt 45s' first home run of the year. So the score will be 3-0 Colt 45s as they head back out onto the field. Remember, folks, go ahead and visit Charlie's Tap House at 1901 Highway 273 in Anderson for all of your breadsticks, buffalo wings, pesto sticks, towering onion rings, soup, salads, pasta, pizza, and anything else you might want.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlie's Tap House. Charlie's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlie's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlie's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlie's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
Turtle Bay's Gloaming Wild Lantern Festival is now extended through June 2nd due to popular demand at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. featuring 10 acres of illuminated botanical gardens filled with larger-than-life Asian lanterns. Plus music, food and drinks, fun interactive activities, live performances on select nights, and much more. Glowing Wild Lantern Festival, open now through June 2nd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to the top of the third inning here at Tiger Field, folks. This game of Reading Colt 45's baseball is brought to you by myself, Austin White, and Jacob Green here up in the announcer's booth for KCNR Shasta Reading. As the batter, I believe that was Gilly Roth. Chase Deinhart is the batter. Takes a first pitch fastball for strike one. Now the pitch. Ball one. Fastball in the outside corner. And that'll tie up the count. Now Winchester comes set. Here's the delivery. Fastball a little inside for ball two. It'll be a 2-1 count. 2-1 pitch on its way. That one's driven into left center field. In the gap, left fielder gives chase. That one's going to go off the wall as Deinhart heads into second, standing up. The left fielder, Alexander, did a good job of getting to that one quickly, but Deinhart makes it to second regardless. That ball was hammered pretty well out there to left field. Didn't have quite enough power to get out, but now it's going to be a runner on second. And no outs for Winchester, as now Gilly Roth, the catcher, comes up to the plate. Not exactly what we wanted to see after Winchester struck out the side in the last inning, but I have confidence he'll come back and attack the batter now. Here's the 0-0 pitch, fouled off, back into the net for strike one. So it'll be no balls and a strike, with Deinhart leading off of second. Winchester heads back up to the mound after getting his ball back, steps on the rubber, looks down, takes his sign. They're not holding Deinhart too tight there, but Winchester's going to go ahead and step off and check him back.
You see Deinhart there kind of dancing off the bag, almost taking like a little shuffle of a secondary lead, even though Winch is still set, and then the shortstop chased him back.
Definitely trying to rattle Winchester a little bit. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Fastball in the outside corner. And Roth did not like that call. He kind of shakes his head a little bit. But the count will move to no balls and two strikes. So Winchester not really looking too affected by giving off that leadoff double. He's settling in here fine out of the stretch. As he looks back, Deinhart. Now the pitch. Swung on, foul tipped back into the mask of the umpire. So we'll take a quick second. Looks fine to me. But Cassingham will call time and give the umpire a second to recover. That was a fast pitch, fouled off back into the face mask. And I can tell you, having umpired myself for a while back in the day, those ones can hurt. They'll rattle you up.
Yeah, the umpire there took a second, took off his mask, kind of shook around a little bit, took a minute to dust off the plate, make sure you can see that plate nice and well for Winch to call some balls and strikes here.
Absolutely, yes he does. Anyways, Roth will step back into the box. The count remains, no balls and two strikes, as Deinhart takes his lead. Generous lead there. Here's the pitch. Low fastball, just missed the strike zone. And it'll be a ball and two strikes to Gilly Roth. Winchester back on the rubber. Looks down, takes his sign. Comes set. Now here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into right center field. It'll be Riley, the center fielder, underneath it to make the catch. And now Deinhart will deke an advance, but he'll head on back to second. Riley did a great job of getting a good angle on that fly ball over there at the right side. And the throw holds the runner at second. So it'll be one out now as the lineup turns over. Colton Ree, the right fielder, coming up to the plate for the second time against Winchester. As Deinhart, once again, takes his generous leadoff of second. Winchester comes set. Here's the pitch. Low fastball called for strike one.
You are listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.
All right, Winchester looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll come set. Dinehart dekes a steal. Here's the pitch. Swung on, grounded lightly over to the third baseman. He's going to throw over to first, and it is in time for out number two. That's the third baseman, Zanny, who charged that ball hard, got a glove on it, and then a quick transfer for the throw over to first, and gets the run. Gets the batter in re for out number two. However, Dinehart will advance over to third, so it'll be a runner on third, two outs here, as Drew Silveri, the center fielder, comes up to the plate.
Yeah, it was a great play by Zanny coming up the line, circling around it, almost like a second baseman has to do to throw off balance to get the runner at first. And as a third baseman myself, I can tell you it's a very tough play to make.
Absolutely
throwing off balance like that as you charge it.
100%. Now Winchester comes set. Here comes the pitch to Silveri. Swung on and fouled back into the net. And it's going to roll right on back to the mound as Winchester will just go ahead and pick it up.
And no need for a new baseball there. Winch just got his best friend back right off the net.
Yes, he did. So it'll be a one ball and one strike count now to Silveri as Dinehart takes his lead off of third. The Rosebuds are looking to answer back here in the top of the third inning. Here's the pitch. Strike two called. Nice fastball on the outside corner. And the count will move to a ball and two strikes for Silveri. Now Winchester looks down, takes his sign. He comes set. Here's the pitch. Swung in and driven into left center field, but the left fielder, Alexander, who was shifted over, gets there quickly and makes the catch for out number three. So a great job from Winchester getting out of a jam after giving up that leadoff double. He will keep the score at 3-0 as we head into the bottom of the third inning. Remember, folks, go ahead and give a visit to Charlie's Tap House at 1901 Highway 273 in Anderson.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlie's Tap House. Charlie's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlie's Tap House. The famous meal deal is backed by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlie's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlie's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to Tiger Field. Once again, I am Austin White for KCNR Shasta. We're here in the bottom of the third inning as the Colt 45s lead 3-0, and they just turn the lights on as the sun is starting to go down a little bit behind the trees in the back of the field. It'll be Braxton Riley, the center fielder, leading off for the Colt 45s in this inning as he looks to extend that three-run lead. It's going to be Chuck Parnell back on the mound. He gave up two runs in the first inning off of a few hits, and then gave up one run in the bottom of the second to the big boy home run from Brandon Zanny. As Braxton Riley takes his sign from his third base coach and now starts to dig in on that right side. Parnell now steps back on the rubber. He'll look down for his sign as Riley takes a little practice swing and gets ready for the pitch. Parnell now coming set. Here's the pitch. Off speed, looked like a changeup in there for strike one. So it'll be an 0-1 count to start off Braxton Riley, as Parnell hopes to hold the lead at three. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Nice pitch there. And you could tell Riley's timing was a little bit skewed, as he fails to catch up to that one. It'll be no balls and two strikes to the center fielder. Parnell now, coming set, looks down and takes a sign. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed, strike three. Curveball, almost in the dirt, as Riley goes down swinging, and that'll be one out here in the bottom of the third, as Parnell comes out with a solid start to the inning. So, now it'll be number 16. It'll be number 16, Joel Calderon Serrano, and he will see a fastball for strike one. Serrano had that single and earlier in tonight's game, and now it'll be an 0-1 count. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball, called ball one, as Parnell heads back out to the rubber after getting his ball back. Now he looks down for his sign. Takes it, comes set. 0-1 pitch on its way. Curveball looked like it might have, but the catcher, Roth, failed to hold on to that one. And Jacob, as we mentioned last night, as a catcher, if you get a pitch that's real tight, close, maybe hitting the zone, but you drop it, you're almost never going to get that call.
Yeah, it's very rare you see that get called, especially in a scenario like that. With a close at-bat, back-and-forth at-bat. This one's fouled off right over the Rosebud's dugout to even the count here at 2-2.
Yeah, and Serrano really got a hold of that one as he sent it over the dugout, but couldn't quite keep it straight as the count will move to a ball and two strikes. Now Parnell stepping back on the rubber. Looks down, gets his sign. Comes set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into left center field. Left fielder ranging over, and he will make the catch on the run. Nice play from the left fielder Potts as Serrano was put down for the second out of the inning. So after giving up two runs in the bottom of the first and another in the bottom of the second, Parnell seems to have come out strong here in the bottom of the third, getting two quick outs from the Colts. It'll be Griffith Fenn. Now the right fielder coming up for the second time tonight. He steps into that left-hand batter's box. He drove a hard hit single into right field in his last at-bat. Here's the pitch. Taken on the outside corner for strike one. Fenn a little unsure about that call, but not upset. He steps back into the box. And now after last night, that makes Fenn five for his last six. As he takes a curveball in the dirt for ball two.
5-6 with two steals, and what a way to start the year for Fenn.
Absolutely. Obviously leading the team in batting average now, but he has proven himself to be a real threat at the plate just through a game and a half so far.
Back-to-back nights, he's found himself in the cleanup spot as here's the pitch right there for a strike. 1-2 count now.
2-1 count.
2-1 count.
2-1 count. Yeah, the scoreboard is a little off here at Tiger Field, which happens. It happens. Sometimes it just messes us up a little bit. Now Parnell gets his sign. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into right field once again. That one's down the line, and now Fenn is going to head towards second. The right fielder's going to get to it, but he bobbles the ball, and Fenn is into second standing up as he gets his second hit of the ball game. And that was a phenomenal piece of hitting. Drove that one just out of reach of the first baseman down the right field line and picks himself up a double. So he's singled and double. And now in his last two games, he is 6-for-7.
Which is crazy. Last night he had a single and a double through two at-bats. Back-to-back night, he finds himself just a triple and a home run away from the cycle.
And that would be something to see. I'm rooting for him. I hope he gets it. But it'll be the designated hitter, Alex Jones, up to the plate for the second time, as the Colts have a runner in scoring position with two outs. Here's the pitch. Off speed in there for strike one. And the fans expressing some displeasure with that call. It'll be no balls and a strike as Jones steps back into the box. Fenn taking a pretty humble lead at second. Again, folks, it is a 3-0 ball game. Alex Jones looking to turn it into a 4-0 ball game with a hit right here. Fenn gets his lead. Now here comes the pitch from Parnell. Swung on and tapped lightly right back to Parnell. But now the second base umpire throws his hands up and says that it hit off of Jones's foot, so it'll be a foul ball. What looks like it could have been the third out for Parnell turns into a foul ball, and it'll be an 0-2 count now to the DH Jones. So Parnell will step back up on the rubber. Umpire holding up time. Now he'll give it up. Parnell comes set. Now he's going to look back for his sign. But Jones will call time as Parnell took a while to get that sign. Again, we've got Fenn leading off of second. All right. Here comes the 0-2 pitch. Grounded sharply to the first baseman, Cunardi. He's going to field it cleanly, tosses over to the pitcher covering it first, and that will be out number three. Folks, if you're just joining us, my name is Austin White with my colleague here, Jacob Green. We're at Tiger Field as we just finished up the bottom of the third inning. Chuck Parnell, the pitcher for the Santa Rosa Rosebuds, holds the Colt 45s here in the bottom of the third. The score will remain 3-0 as we head in to the top of the fourth.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlu's Tap House. Charlu's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlu's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlu's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlu's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
At Black Bear Diner, sandwich stacks are here, and they're tall on irresistible flavors. Indulge in a double bacon stack, hand-breaded crispy chicken stack, a tri-tip cheddar stack, or a crispy cod stack. There's a stack for everyone. Get yours today at Black Bear Diner. Now available for limited time. Served all day, every day. In Redding on Hilltop Drive, order one now at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the top of the fourth inning here at Tiger Field. Once again, I'm Austin White here with my colleague Jacob Green. As the third baseman for the Rosebuds, Justin Wade, steps up to the plate and sees a fastball low and away for ball one. Winchester back out on the mound for the Colt 45s, and he has put up three really solid innings of work, has not allowed a run yet. In the top of the third, he allowed a leadoff double, but came in clutch, holding the Rosebuds and not allowing that batter to score. And now Wade will knock a ground ball into left field for a leadoff single. So the second leadoff hit in a row for the Rosebuds. Let's see if they'll be able to capitalize this time as the designated hitter, Iggy Lawrence, comes up to the plate for the second time. Lawrence struck out against Winchester in his first at-bat. After knocking a big home run, and Winchester will look down to take his sign. He gets it. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed, strike one. And Iggy Lawrence continues to have trouble with the velocity coming out of Winchester. Now Winchester will come set. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Low and away, ball one. So it'll be a 1-1 count now to Lawrence. He looks to advance that runner at first. Winchester now looks down, gets his sign. Now he'll come set. 1-1 pitch.
Here it is. Swung on and fouled back to the back end. As one of the fans out here at Coulter Field just yelled, "Finish him." And Winchester will look to do exactly that as he's in a 1-2 count now with Lawrence looking to strike him out for the second time tonight. 1-2 pitch, here it is. Swung on and grounded sharply to the shortstop, Serrano, who will toss on over to second. Now the throw on to first, in time, as the Colt 45s turn a nice double play to get both runners and put up two outs on that board.
That's exactly what you want. 6-4-3 ground ball, double play, Taylor made over there from the shortstop.
That was a great play, and Lawrence really just put that one in the palm of the Colt 45's hands. Hard hit ground ball right there to Serrano, who flipped it on over to Vila at second, who then made a nice throw over to Rossman at first. As now, number 21, Jared Cunardi, the first baseman, sees a fastball high from Winchester for ball one. Winchester now gets his sign. Here's the pitch. Almost saw a swing from Cunardi on a fastball outside, but it's going to be a called strike anyway. So the count will even up. It'll be a ball and a strike. As Cunardi steps back in the box, Winchester gets his sign. Here's the pitch. Swung on a miss, strike two. And I got to tell you, Jacob, I am really impressed with Winchester's resilience tonight. You know, like we've seen in the top of the third and now the top of the fourth, he gave up a leadoff hit, but comes back and just hammers the zone, which is why he hasn't allowed a run yet as the pitch comes in, and that one's going to be low in the dirt for ball two.
Now you can see he's not afraid to just attack the zone relentlessly. If there's runners on or not, he's throwing the ball in the zone, around the zone, painting the black. He's going upstairs, downstairs, all over the place, and he's even mixing in that breaking pitch as he just got a new that baseball back, and he's going to come set to deliver here to the first baseman, Lunardi.
Here's the pitch. Strike three called. Curveball on the outside of the zone, and Cunardi did not like that call at all as he goes walking back to the dugout. A really nice fourth inning of work there from the righty Winchester as the Colt 45s will go in and put the helmets on and get ready to try and extend that lead. Remember, folks, Charlie's Tap House offers a variety of menu items, including breadsticks, buffalo wings, pesto sticks, towering onion rings, soup, salads, pasta, pizza, and more. They are a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlie's Tap House. Charlie's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlie's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlie's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlie's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
All righty, folks. Welcome back. It is the bottom of the fourth inning here at Tiger Field. Once again, I'm Austin White here with my colleague Jacob Green, bringing you some quality Reading Colt 45's baseball. It's going to be Chase Rossman, the first baseman, leading off the inning for the Colt 45s as Chuck Parneau is back out onto the mound. Parneau has allowed three runs through three innings so far, two in the first, one in the second, but he shut down the Colt 45s in the third. Let's see how he fares here in the bottom of the fourth as Rossman steps up to the plate in that left-hander's batter box.
And you said, Austin, we're halfway through our ball game here. It's 3-0. Colt 45 is on top. Winch holding the Rosebud scoreless as Parneau comes back out on the mound to face the Colt 45s. And Chase Rossman, the first baseman, digging in from the left side.
It'll be a lefty-on-lefty matchup as Parneau throws an off-speed pitch in the zone there for strike one. The catcher, Roth, has a little trouble holding onto it, but pretty much right down the middle for the first strike of the at-bat. Rossman now gets a sign from his third base coach, steps back in the box. Parneau takes his sign. He'll come set. The 0-1 pitch. Here it is. swung on, a sharp ground ball over to the right side. That's going to get past the first baseman, going to the right field corner, and Rossman will be sent over to second. He's going to be in there sliding as the shortstop cannot handle the throw from the right fielder. So the right fielder for the Rosebuds, Colton Reed, did a good job of getting that ball, which was hit sharply down the line by Chase Rossman. However, the throw was a little bit offline, and the shortstop, Chase Dinehart, couldn't hold on to the ball, and Rossman is in there sliding safely with a double.
The right fielder having to range all the way over to his left, deep into foul territory, almost made a Derek Jeter throw off balance. A little bit of a jump throw over there, and then the second baseman having to corral it up the base path there at second base.
He did, he did. Rossman now, with a leadoff double, takes his lead as Alexander pops one high into the air. The second baseman, that is Nick Roth, will get under it and make the catch. So one out here as Alexander pops up the first pitch he sees in that at bat. Rossman will remain at second base as Brandon Zanny, who hit a big shot to extend the lead to 3 runs in his last at-bat, will look to grab himself another RBI. Now he steps in on that right side. Parnot looks down and grabs his sign. Rossman, taking a pretty humble lead at second, not being held on at all, surprised he's so close without any sort of reinforcement there. Parnot will step off, but now gets back on, and he'll look down. Rossman still not being held on at all. I imagine he'll take a generous secondary. Here's the pitch. Curveball in there for strike one. So Zanny sees first pitch curveball, and the count will move to no balls and one strike. Rossman still taking a humble lead out there at second. Not looking to get caught in this situation whatsoever. Now the second baseman ranging over. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven high and deep into right field. And that one's going to get into the corner. Off the wall. Now they'll send Rossman around second. The throw into second is going to be not in time. As Zanny has himself a double. So a home run in his last at-bat. And now a hard hit double into the right side of the field, scores another run. That'll be his second RBI of the game, and it'll bring up Mason Cassingham, the catcher.
And Zanny there, the outfield and the shortstop and third baseman are playing him a couple steps to pull, and he said, fine, I'll go oppo with it. Dumps one down the line there to get on to second base and score the run.
And that's some real quality hitting from Brandon Zanny. Just like you said, decided to take that pitch to the opposite field, and drove it, gave it a good smack as it bounced once before hitting the wall. Now here's the pitch to Cassingham. That one's going to be fouled back. Cassingham struck out in his last at-bat. And now Parnot just looking to do some damage control with one out and a runner on second. Cassingham steps back into the box. Parnot looks down and gets a sign. Now he'll come set. No balls and a strike. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into center field. That one is going to get down. And Zanny will hold up at third. He froze. He wasn't sure if that ball was going to be caught. So there will be runners at the corners now for Colt 45s off of the single from Mason Cassingham. As Parnot is now having a little chat with his catcher, Gilly Roth.
A great job by the center fielder, Silveri, there to play it on a hop. He kind of deked Zanny at second. Zanny was in between second and third waiting for it to fall. And then Silveri came up throwing, bobbled the ball, but Zanny still had to hold up at third and not go all the way around to score a run.
And now Cassingham will get a courtesy runner over there at first. So he heads back in to put the gear on. And that'll bring up the second baseman, Dusty Vila, back to the plate for the third time tonight. Vila now takes a sign from third base coach, steps in. And now the pitcher, Parnot, will throw over to first. No action there. as the courtesy runner gets back safely. Parnon now looks down and takes his sign. Both runners taking pretty humble leads. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled off to the left side over the net. It'll be no balls and a strike to Dusty Vila. Colts looking to do some more damage here. They've got one out, runners at the corners, and the score is 4-0 already. Vila steps back into the box. Parnot looking down, gets his sign. Now he'll come set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven to the left side. That one will be foul. Just a little bit behind that pitch as the lefty Vila lines it over there. So the count moved to no balls and two strikes as Vila steps back into the box. Parnot now looking down, grabs his sign. He'll come set. The 0-2 pitch on the way. In the dirt, nice pick there from the catcher, Roth, to hold both runners from advancing. And that's something you got to do every time as a catcher. Those balls in the dirt, especially with runners on the corners in this situation, trying to hold that lead, wouldn't you say, Jacob?
Yeah, and unlike last night, we have not seen a lot of pass balls here tonight. So great job by both backstops a little over halfway through our ball game as the southpaw here comes set and delivers a pitch that's swung on by Vila, to strike out as the runners stay at the corners.
And that'll bring up Braxton Riley to the plate now. Rosebud's working with two outs instead of one, so they're in a bit of a better situation for themselves. Still trailing 4-0 as Parnot looks down and gets his sign. Now comes set. Again, the leads are pretty minimal from the base runners. Here comes the pitch. Swung on. Hard ground ball over to the left side. Left fielder grabs it on a backhand. The throw is not going to make it in time. As Braxton Riley picks himself up a leadoff single. So the third baseman for the Rosebuds there, that was Justin Wade, did a good job of picking that ball off the backhand. His throw was in the dirt. And I don't think it would have been in time either way. But the first baseman, Cunardi, had a little bit of trouble handling it.
Yeah, he knocked it down there and then was able to throw it over to the first baseman. It was just wide of the bag, and he had to move up the first baseline, came off the bag to get it anyways. And the first baseman, Cunardi, just couldn't handle it as that one's fouled back off, out of play, behind the crowd and into the parking lot.
And it'll be Serrano as a man out there going for that foul ball, tripped and fell and ate some pavement. That was interesting to see. It's going to be Serrano at the plate who just fouled that one off. The count is now 0-1 with runners on first and second. The score moved to 5-0 off of the infield single from Braxton Riley. Parnot comes set. Here's the pitch. Off speed in there for strike two. So it'll be no balls and two strikes now to Serrano. So he gets back in the box. Parnot now comes set. Here's the pitch. High as Riley is going to try to take second. But now the courtesy runner over there at second base goes back as well. This is an interesting play going on here. Now Riley's gotten a pickle between first and second, and he'll be tagged out by the first baseman, Cunardi, and that'll end the inning. So before we head to break, I want to talk about that with you real quick, Jacob. Braxton Riley gunned it for second, trying to get a stolen base, but the courtesy runner who was standing at second, who was in for Mason Cassingham, just stayed there. He didn't realize what was going on.
Yeah, he did not take off for third, and then Braxton Riley went and touched second, then jumped back off the bag to run back to first, and the whole Rosebud defense kind of collapsed on him to catch him in a pickle.
Yeah, and so Rosebuds get out of a jam there after allowing two runs. The score is 5-0 in favor of the Colt 45s as we head to the top of the fifth inning. Remember, folks, Charlie's Tap House is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. They're at 1901 Highway 273 in Anderson. Go ahead and pay them a visit if you want to get some pizza, wings, or towering onion rings.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlie's Tap House. Charlie's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlie's Tap House. The famous meal deal is backed by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlie's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlie's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
All right, folks, welcome back. James Potts, the second baseman, the left fielder for the Santa Rosa Rosebuds, just nailed an opposite field drive over the head of the left fielder Alexander for a leadoff double against Winchester. That's Winchester's second leadoff double he's given up. But still, the score remains 5-0. As now Nick Roth, the second baseman, comes up to the plate. So quickly, a runner in scoring position for the Rosebuds as they look to put on their first run of the game. Here's the pitch from Winchester. Roth wanted that one. It was a little high, but decided to hold off. So it'll be one ball and no strikes. So Winchester looks down and gets his sign. Let's see if he can battle back like he's done before. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled off to the right side. That one's headed towards my truck. But it won't hit, thankfully. It'll be a ball and a strike now to Nick Roth, the second baseman, as he looks to help advance this runner, potentially get him in to score. Winchester gets his sign. Now he'll come set. Here's the pitch. Low fastball. It'll be two balls and a strike as Cassingham throws the ball in the dirt back to Winchester. Winchester looked a little bit frustrated with that, and now he's going to ask for a new ball. So Cassingham with a fluke throw back to his pitcher might throw Winchester out of his groove a little bit. Luckily, the runner at second wasn't really paying attention, so he'll stay over there as the 2-1 pitch is on the way. Swung on and grounded sharply up the middle. It's going to be Serrano who fields it, but now throws low in the dirt to Rossman, who cannot glove it. And now there will be runners at the corners. So an interesting play there, Jacob. Kind of walk us through what just happened.
Well, you can see the frustration on Winch's face as he goes for a little walk around the mound. A tough hop back of second base that had to be handled by Serrano. He took his time getting to it just to play the in-between hop and then had to throw it really fast to the first baseman, Rossman, who couldn't quite pick it as it was a funny little hop, got past him, but then he threw it into home to hold the runner at third, and Cunningham had to lunge up the line at third to keep it corralled.
Yes, he did. So there will be runners at the corners with no outs for Winchester as he blows a fastball by number one, Chase Dinehart, the shortstop, for strike one. So maybe a little bit of an anger action pitch there from Winchester.
And a great place to bounce back here for Winch to just get a punch out, then get a ground ball, head back to the dugout, and start fresh next inning.
Now the 0-1 pitch. Runner at first goes. That one's going to be fouled sharply over to the right side. Nailed the dugout fence as some of the Rosebuds went scrambling for their lives over there.
Yeah, you can see the first baseman Lunardi over there kind of ran up the dugout to avoid that. Said, look out, guys, it's coming right at us.
All right. So it'll be Potts in an 0-1 count now. sorry, 0-2 count now after the foul ball against Winchester. We'll see if Roth, at first, tries to steal again with no outs. The 0-2 pitch on the way. He will go. Check swing. No appeal and no throw from Cassingham as Roth is in there with a stolen base. So it'll be runners on second and third. One ball and two strikes now to Potts, the left fielder. Sorry, not Potts. Deinhart, the shortstop. Winchester looks down, gets his sign. Now he'll come set. Here comes the pitch. Swung on, driven up the middle for a base hit. And Roth is now going to be waved around third. He will score easily. And just like that, the Rosebuds are on the board with two runs. Winchester obviously a little bit frustrated after that one. Definitely a rough situation having that runner on first from the error, who was able to get in a scoring position from a steal, which now turns what would have been a one-run single into a two-run single, and the Rosebuds seem like they might be bouncing back. The score moves 5-2, still in favor of the Colt 45s.
And as the throw came in from the center fielder, Chase Rossman was over just in front of the mound to cut it off and keep the runner at first. So the double play will be back in order here for Winch as he looks to get out of the inning.
And now it's going to be Gilly Roth, the catcher, back up to the plate with a runner on first. Scores 5-2. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed on a curveball low. That was a nice pitch from Winchester. Again, he's showing good resilience here. See if he can keep it up. It'll be no balls and a strike. So he looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll come set. Pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Low. This one's going to get past Cassingham. And the runner on first, Deinhart, will advance to second easily as Cassingham fails to block that one in the dirt. The count, however, will move to no balls and two strikes. Colt 45 still looking for their first out of the inning. Now Winchester will look down, take his sign. 0-2 count to Gilly Roth. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled off to the right side. Tried to blow a fastball by him, but Roth is able to just catch up to it enough to foul it off. Now he'll step back into the box as Winchester gets on the rubber, looks down, takes his sign.
Roth, you're still in an 0-2 hole.
Deinhart takes a good lead off of second. Here's the pitch. Swung on, grounded sharply to the shortstop, Serrano. He'll get this one and throw it cleanly this time over to Rossman for out number one. And Deinhart will hold up at second. So there will remain a runner on second for the Santa Rosa Rosebuds as the lineup flips over, and it'll be Colton Ree, the right fielder, back up to the plate. And now our Colt 45's manager is going to call time and head out to the mound. Interested to see if he's going to call in a new pitcher or just talk to Winchester a little bit. And it kind of looks like they're just talking strategy. Would you say, Jacob?
Yeah, it looks like they're talking a little bit strategy. Keeping the runner over there at second, still with one out now in the inning. It's 4-2 in the top half of the fifth, rather. Just trying to get Winch out of the inning here.
And
one out and no force at any base except for first.
So Colton Ree will come up to the plate. It looks like there might be a little bit of action out there in the Colt 45's bullpen.
Yeah, and that visit by the manager there looks to be just trying to buy some time for the bullpen to get somebody up and warm as this one's fouled just to the left of third in foul territory. 0-1 count now here. Again, with one out, top of the fifth, it's 4-2 Colt 45s over the Santa Rosa Rosebuds.
So Colton Ree now in an 0-1 count. Still got Deinhart over there at second with one out. See if Winchester can continue to battle back. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into deep right field. Out. Fenn is going back. He'll make the catch. Deinhart tags up. The throw is not in time. And Colton Ree will have himself a sacrifice fly. That was a hard hit ball. Just got under it a little bit. put it up there in right field for Fenn to make a catch. Fenn gave a nice throw over there to third base, but Dinehart tagged up well and made it there pretty easily.
That throw was cut off by the second baseman. Otherwise, it could have been trouble, as it would have taken a weird hop toward the third baseman with Winch backing up the bag over there at third. As that first pitch is in there for a called strike, 0-1 count now here on Drew Silveri, the center fielder for the Santa Rosa Rosebuds.
So now Dinehart will take his lead off of third. Winchester comes set. Here's the pitch. Low. This one's going to get by Castingham. Now Dinehart gunning for the plate. The throw is not in time. And now Winchester is exchanging words with the umpire. He is upset, and the Colt 45's manager will come out. Rosebuds are getting excited. Winchester very, very upset with that call. It was a pass ball that skirted by Castingham. Castingham ran back to the backstop, got a hold of the ball, threw it back to Winchester, who was covering home. But Dinehart apparently got under the tag, according to the home plate umpire, but this crowd is not happy with the call, and neither is Winchester, huh, Jacob?
And now you find yourself in a really weird position. It's 4-3 now. Castingham having to go out there and calm down his veteran pitcher. Winch with the uniform all dirty. He put the tag on him and then was knocked down by the runner sliding in and got dirt all up in his socks. All for nothing as he jawed with the umpire right after the call was made that he was safe. And Winch very visibly upset that and very clear that he did not agree with the call there.
Now the 1-1 pitch is going to be tapped lightly to the first baseman, Rossman, who fails to field it. He bobbled it, and now another runner will reach. It was a really light ground ball down the first baseline. Rossman looked like he was going to field it easily, but as he tried to pick it up and toss it to the pitcher Winchester, who was covering, he just couldn't. So now Winchester dealing with a couple of errors this inning, and you got to feel for this guy, Jacob. I mean, he's come out, he put together some real solid innings of work, but has now allowed 3 runs in the inning off of a couple of hits, a couple of errors, and a couple of questionable calls.
And these have not been hard-hit balls. They've been ground outs or what you think would be routine outs for some, but just the weird spin off the ball and whatnot can make for very tough plays for this defense as that ball is in the dirt, and a great block there by Castingham, the catcher.
It's Justin Wade, and apparently there was a check swing. They appealed over the first base umpire, but it wasn't much of anything, as it was called a ball. Winchester will now look down and get his sign. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply over to the second baseman, Vila. He'll pick it up. Throw over to first is very much in time for out number 3. So Winchester finally gets out of a tough inning. And the score will be 5-3 as we head in to the bottom of the 5th. Remember, folks, Charles Tap House offers a variety of menu items, including breadsticks, buffalo wings, pesto sticks, towering onion rings, soup, salads, pasta, pizza, and more. Charlie's Tap House at 1901 Highway 273 in Anderson.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlie's Tap House. Charlie's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlie's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium 2-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with 2 mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlie's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlie's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
All right, folks, welcome back here to Tiger Field. It's the bottom of the fifth inning. After a rough inning on the mound and on the field for the Colt 45s in the top half of the fifth, they're going to look here to get some insurance runs as the Rosebuds cut the lead to just two. Score is 5-3 here as a 1-0 pitch to Serrano, who's leading off, goes high for ball two. Serrano looking to do some damage here for the Colts, leading it off here in the bottom of the fifth inning. It's still the southpaw, Parnot, out on the mound for the Rosebuds as he throws an off-speed pitch high once again to Serrano, who takes it for ball three. So the count will be three balls and no strikes to start off the inning. Parnot looks down and gets his sign. Here comes the pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. Good take there by Serrano. Not the best pitch to hit, but it'll be a 3-1 count as Parnot tries to battle back. Here's the pitch. Swung on, grounded sharply to the third baseman, who fields it cleanly. Throw on over to first is in the dirt, but picked by the first baseman Lunardi for out number one. Nice play there from the third baseman. That's why they call it the hot corner, huh, Jacob?
That is exactly why they call it the hot corner. Beautiful play there to corral it. He was even with the bag over there at third, a couple steps off towards the shortstop, and corralled it, picked it, threw it over to first, and a great play over there by the first baseman Lunardi as well. And that's just what you love to see from your first baseman, is being able to pick the ball.
Absolutely. So Parnot gets a quick out as he attempts to hold the Colts here in the bottom of the fifth. It's Alex Fenn.
Yeah, Austin, Alex Fenn here.
Sorry, Griffith Fenn.
Oh, Griffith Fenn.
I'm mixing up names.
Six for his last seven, and again, coming off of a two stolen base night last night.
He is absolutely on fire, Jacob, as he drives a foul ball off to the left side. That one's going to get in the Colt 45's bullpen, and the count will be a ball and a strike to Griffith Fenn. I was mixing him up with Alex Jones, who's on deck right now. And now Fenn will step back in the box. Parnot comes set. Here's the pitch. Check swing, no appeal, and that one will be ball two. So it'll be a 2-1 count now to Griffith Fenn. Oh, but here's an appeal, and the third base umpire says no swing.
Very late appeal there.
Very, very late appeal from the home plate umpire.
The home plate umpire stepped out from behind the catcher and pointed down the line after the first baseman signaled to...
And now a deep drive into left center field. The center fielder, Silveri, giving chase, and he will make the catch on the run. Great effort there by Silveri, the center fielder, to track that ball down. Had a great angle on it. And unfortunately, Fenn is robbed of a double.
As I was saying before, right before that ball was hit absolutely on the screws to the deep part of the ballpark, the first baseman for the Rosebud signaled over to the third base umpire. That's when the home plate umpire stepped out from behind the catcher and signaled down on that late appeal there.
So unfortunately for Fenn, that one was caught. He's still on fire. I mean, that dude has hit the ball hard in every at-bat tonight. As Alex Jones comes up to the plate and sees an off-speed pitch low for ball one. So it'll be one ball and no strikes now to Alex Jones. And Parnot is working with two outs here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Parnell now comes set. 1-0 pitch on the way. Oh, that one ran inside, almost hit Jones. And it'll go to the backstop as the catcher, Gilly Roth, calls time and heads out to talk to Parnell for a second. It'll be a quick conversation as Roth quickly turns around and heads back behind the plate. Jones taking a couple of practice hacks. Now he'll step back into the box and take his sign from the third base coach.
And as he digs in here from the right side, the left fielder is playing only a few steps in front of the track. Both the center fielder and right fielder straight up playing in the normal depth.
I think they're expecting him to pull something hard as he sees a high fastball for strike one. So the count will move to a ball and a strike for Alex Jones. Now he'll step back into the box. Here comes the pitch. Curveball in there for strike two, and that was a nice pitch, wouldn't you say, Jacob?
Great pitch there by Parnell as he just takes a curveball right there, right in the top of the zone as he settles back in the right-handed batter's box.
That one had some good velo, but some great break as well. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Now it's going to be grounded sharply to the shortstop, who's going to throw over to first. Ball is in the dirt, cannot be fielded by the first baseman, Lunardi. And Alex Jones will reach on what might be called an error, might be called an infield single. The shortstop, Chase Dinart, waited back on that ball. Little too much. Probably should have taken a couple steps towards it before throwing it in the dirt to the first baseman, Lunardi, who couldn't pick it. Either way, with two outs, the Colt 45s now have a runner on first as Chase Rossman comes up to the plate. Two out. Oh, pitch. Here it is. High fastball, strike one. And Rossman not happy with that call. That one looked like it was almost above the letters. Now Parnell comes set. 0-1 pitch. Here it is. Swung on and missed. Curveball in the dirt. And you could tell Rossman was hungry for something there. And Parnell took advantage of that hunger and blew that curveball in the dirt by him.
Yeah, Rossman a little out in front there. Looked like he might have been looking fastball. But that break couldn't hold up on it, went all the way around.
It'll be an 0-2 count out of Rossman with two outs here in the bottom of the fifth. Here's the pitch. Strike three called. Curveball at the top of the zone. Rossman again unhappy with the call, but he'll make a slow walk on back to the dugout as the score remains 5-3 as we head into the top of the sixth. Remember, folks, Charlie's Tap House at 1901 Highway 273, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45s. They've got breadsticks, buffalo wings, pesto sticks, towering onion rings, soup, salads, pasta, pizza, and more. So go ahead and give them a visit at 1901 Highway 273 in Anderson.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlie's Tap House. Charlie's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlie's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlie's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlie's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
Now, This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hello, fans, and welcome back. It's time for Reading Colt 45's baseball, sponsored by Charlie's Half House at 1901 Highway 273 in Anderson, California. It's Eric Winchester back out there against Iggy Florence, the tall DH from the Santa Rosa Rosebuds, as there's been two swinging strikes, and now he swings at a third. He's going to sit him down for out one of the top half of the sixth. It is 5-3, the Reading Colt 45's on top of the Santa Rosa Rosebuds.
Great comeback at bat from Winchester there. He struggled last inning, like we said, with some errors and then some hits that ended up resulting in those three runs for the Rosebuds. But now he's looking stronger than ever back out on the mound for the Colt 45s as he blows an off-speed pitch past Lunardi, the first baseman.
And Lunardi tonight has already struck out twice. Winch looking here to strike him out a third time. Seems to be working quick as here's the windup, the pitch in there for strike two. Great pitch by Winch there on the inside corner, upper half.
Nice pitch there, as you said, from Winchester. And he's really working quick this inning. Already in an 0-2 count with Lunardi after striking out Lawrence on three pitches. Now a low fastball will be tapped foul by Lunardi as he stays alive.
And the infield playing back here at Tiger Field as the lights have taken full effect on a beautiful night for baseball on a Saturday night in Redding, California.
Winchester set now. Here's the pitch. Swung on a miss. Strike three. So two consecutive strikeouts following the rough inning for Winchester. And you can tell he's back with a vengeance. Wouldn't you say, Jacob?
Yeah, he's got seven Ks now on the night. This is the second time he's struck out. Sorry, he has five strikeouts now against the two batters who hit dingers last night, and he is not afraid of those power-hitting left-handed and right-handed hitters.
No, he's not. Doing a phenomenal job working quick. Now an 0-0 pitch to James Potts. It's going to be fouled back behind the booth here.
Just over our heads.
And it'll be no balls and a strike for James Potts. Winchester looks down, gets a sign. He has thrown eight consecutive strikes. Here's the pitch. High fastball, strike two. Make that nine consecutive strikes.
And right here, you look for lucky number 10. Get the punch out, get out of the inning.
Now, if it wasn't for the foul ball from Lunardi in the last at-bat, Winchester would be on track for an immaculate inning.
Yeah, he would be. And the batter calls time here to throw Winch a little bit off, as Winch has been quick pitching, but he comes back on the mound and says, hurry up, stay back there.
And I got to say, this is Winchester's – well, Winchester's going to ask for the sign to be thrown down again by Casingham. But I got to say, this is probably Winchester's most impressive inning yet. I don't want to jinx it, but he is working quick, working fast, and throwing a lot of strikes as Potts checks a foul ball into the back net. Casingham will run and grab it, give it back to the umpire.
That one was way up and in. He checked, swung on it, ended up fouling it back. A little bit of chin music there, but he decided to swing anyway. He said he's going to throw strikes, might as well swing at one.
So now Winchester will get a sign once again. I have a feeling he's coming back with fastball. Here's the pitch. Fastball indeed, but this one's going to be fouled back to the left side as Potts keeps trying to catch up.
0-2 again, we're going to run it back after two straight foul balls. Winch throwing nothing but strikes here in the top half of the sixth.
Still an 0-2 count to Potts as Winchester comes set. Here's the pitch. In the dirt, no swing. That one gets by Casingham, and the count will move to a ball and two strikes.
Winchester will grab a new ball, head back out to the rubber, where he looks down to get his sign. Potts stepping back in, looking to battle back in this 0-2 count. Sorry, 1-2 count. Here comes the pitch. This one again low and in the dirt. And now Winchester, who looked really solid throughout the first two batters of this inning, seems to be faltering just a bit.
Yeah, after that, those first two strikes and then those two foul balls, can't seem to locate the strike zone, trying to get a swing and miss here instead of just doing what's been working all inning, which is just throw strikes as he comes set. The delivery, here it is.
Swung on and driven into left field.
Right past the third baseman and into left field for a hit. An absolute rocket, frozen rope, on that fastball from Winch.
And unfortunately, that breaks up the perfect inning from Winchester, who struck out the first two batters.